not many people understand what best practices are when it comes to investing. If you take golf, everyone's going to study Tiger Woods or, you know, Rory McIlroy, whoever your favorite is, and you're going to learn something. But it doesn't seem to me that investors spend a lot of time studying the best investors, figuring out what that is and therefore how to be like that. And there are a lot of benefits that come out of examining what a best investor really is.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Annie Nelson. And today I have a terrific guest on the show. It is Chris Belchamber, and he is the investment management expert. He has written a new book called Invest Like the Best. Chris holds a Master of Mathematics from Oxford University. He has been an investment professional since 1984. His first investment book was published by Credit Suisse First Boston in 1988. He was recruited by JP Morgan in 1989 to run the UK sterling pounds sales and trading, and then focused on priority trading, where he was promoted to managing director. He presented JP Morgan's UK bond market development paper, endorsed by Margaret Thatcher, to the Bank of England in 1989. In 2003, he started his registered investment advisor in the USA. He enjoys music, reading, writing, and almost any sport, and is currently an active golfer. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you, Anne. Yes, very glad to be here.
Yay. The golfer would be a good occupation at the moment. You can go out and have a game all by yourself in this COVID situation.
Actually, it's been pretty lenient here in Virginia, so we've never stopped.
I'm honoured and privileged to be able to have you on the show, someone that has got so much experience. I was fascinated to read about being a Master of Mathematics. Does that make you be able to be an investment expert easier?
I think so. I think it helps to be, and actually maybe even a sportsman as well as a mathematician, because it's a practical and fast-moving, but it certainly helps to put the odds on your side, and calculating how to define those odds is definitely has mathematical elements to it. There's a lot more to it than that, but it's a big part, so yeah. It helps.
So what prompted you to write your latest book, Invest Like the Best?
It's just a lot of conversations and just a feeling that not many people understand what best practices are when it comes to investing. If you take golf, everyone's going to study Tiger Woods or, you know, Rory McIlroy, whoever your favorite is, and you're going to learn something. But it doesn't seem to me that investors spend a lot of time studying the best investors, figuring out what that is and therefore how to be like that. And there are a lot of benefits that come out of examining what a best investor really is.
Well, I've got two children who both became golfers, and it's something you can leave, but you can always come back to. So I've had many a day when they were young, driving them to different tournaments. But it's
right, yes.
You have to be pretty dedicated, because it takes a lot of time to have a game of golf.
That's for sure, yeah, and parents too.
In your book, you talk about an investor should not focus solely on returns. So what else should they be focusing on?
Yeah, I mean, in the first part of the book, we look at people who just look at returns. That's very easy to understand why people do that. It's what people want. And it seems reasonable at first glance that that's what they should focus on. The problem with that is that it doesn't work particularly well. So, you know, I show that the average investor is always at its maximum allocation at the highs, and it's at its lowest allocation at the lows. And so most people underperform because they do that. And that's just the most investors. But also, if you look at hedge funds, although, you know, they have, you know, all the experience and intelligence available to them, they're paid on returns and short-term returns. So their focus defaults to a return focus as well. And what we see from both of those classes of investor is that it doesn't work very well. They don't get very good returns. When you examine what the best investors do, it's not like they ignore short-term returns, but they've learned that if you want to make a lot of money over time, there are more important priorities. And they all come down on those same priorities. It's amazing when you look at the people who've made a lot of money over, you know, 3-4 decades, that they have very similar priorities and practices. And it starts with risk. They look at risk first. And if the risk is too high, or the return to risk isn't good enough, they don't want to have any part of it. And that's very different from normal investors who say, okay, I want a high return, so we're going to have to take some risk. So the average investor and the hedge funds tend to, not always, but tend to allocate to risk. The best investors allocate to low risk and high return relative to risk, high expected return, in a word. And that leads to radically different paths. And we know which one wins in the long run.
Can you clarify what you're taking in when you talk about return? Are you just talking about the growth in the value of the money that you invested, so the stock price is going up, or do you also include any dividends that are paid out as return?
Total return, the amount that the account value goes up, and that includes dividends, taxes, and capital gains.
So my next question would be, it sounds like a bit like a mathematical formula that you've got playing there in the background about risk and return.
Yeah, there is a lot of math that comes into it. And the book definitely goes into that in great detail at the later stages of the book. But actually, the first point is the behavior of the investor themselves. So we start out with mindset. What is your mindset? What is it should you look at? Are you actually good at making decisions consistently? Are there cognitive biases? Do you think you know what the market's going to do in the future? Are you going to react well if that doesn't happen? So the best investors themselves, I mean, all the book is full of quotes from the best investors. And two of them say, and it's on the back cover, is that the biggest problem that most investors has doesn't come from not understanding economics, not understanding the maths of securities analysis. It comes from their behavior themselves, first and foremost. So the first two chapters focus solely on mindset and investment behavior and what kind of things go wrong, what kind of landscape you're in. And in the second chapter, we create an investment mindset framework. So you can figure out, okay, if I'm going to have a good mindset, what do you have to do? So that's how the book starts. It starts with mindset, because actually that's the most important thing. And if you don't have, if you're not thinking about investing in the right way from the very beginning, sooner or later, it's going to be a problem. So that's, you know, I would say mindset is and behaviors is probably as important as the math. But I can talk a lot more about the math if you want.
Well, that's very interesting for you as an expert to say that the mindset is just as important as the math. So do we need to understand how our brain functions then to to be able to invest like the best investors?
I get into that. Yeah, I use Daniel Kahneman's work. You know, essentially we have two systems in our brain, and we have the thinking strategic part, which uses a lot of energy, and we have the reactive behavioral part, which very often interrupts, you know, our strategic thinking. So what you have to do when you're investing is make sure you don't fall into the traps that that involved. And there are things that you can do that help you avoid that. And so then you have like a checklist, and you can say, okay, we're not falling into those traps. We're going to be making better decisions because we've set up some rules. We get into the behavior and how the brain works and some issues around economics as well. But just to clarify, you know, the landscape, the journey you're on, you need to understand that before you start.
Okay. But investing in the stock market is a risk anyway. So how do we know, or as an investor, we're all a bit risk adverse, I suppose, or we should be. So you talk about we should not be high risk, high reward. So how do we work out what the balance is?
Well, the best investors are very clear that they only want to take risk where they can see a positive expected return. So they're very strict on what kind of risk they want to take. And then they manage that risk. They don't just say, okay, we're going to do that. Let's hope it works out. They're going to manage it even after they put on the trade. And if they can't find that, they're going to say, well, fine, we'll be in cash until we can. So they're very clear. I have two quotes at the beginning of chapter 5 from Warren Buffett and Seth Klarman, who are, you know, some amongst the best. And it's amazing how rigid and uncompromising their statements are about risk. So when you take risk, you have to adopt that. If you don't, then you're going to expose yourself to some degree to luck in the outcome. And, you know, that can work out well for a period. It's going to have problems sooner or later if over a decade, 2 decades, and 3 decades. You need to have a process, and that's what you need to measure. You need to be able to look at an investor's behavior and his returns and look at not just the return, but you need to be able to look at the risk, the drawdown, and the alpha or the return to risk. And then really in chapter 7, I show a grid where everyone can get their account put into that grid. And really within seconds, you know whether your results are best investor, you're on track to be a best investor, or you're taking more risk than a best investor would take. And therefore you're exposed to luck, which over a long period of time, it might work out well for a while, but when you make a big loss, it's really hard to get it back. So if you just use this monitoring system, which you can have in real time, you're going to know before the accident happens whether you're on track to, for best investor results or not.
Well, I'd be keen to have a look at that, that's for sure. And you say that's in the book.
Yeah, that's in the book. Chapter 7 is all about that. Yeah, and I think the other thing that comes out of that, once you've found out that's what the best investors do, it sounds, well, okay, that must be difficult to find. But actually, the rest of the book shows that actually by taking less risk, you make more long-term return. Mm. And people don't think that that's possible. But, you know, I show so many examples that show it is. We even have an example at the bottom of chapter 8, which shows 80 years of performance taking a low risk approach. And it's called paradox investing because people seem to be locked into this idea as if I want to make a high return, I have to take high risk. In this example from paradox investing, it's a website, you can get all the data yourself. What they do is they take the biggest 1,000 stocks in the US, they rank them according to risk, volatility. And what they do is they throw away the top half. They throw away the top half, and then they rank the lower half according to dividends and momentum. And then they show what happens over 80 years since the 1920s. And you see a massive outperformance from the conservative portfolio and an underperformance of the high-risk portfolio. So if you want to look for evidence about how, in terms of getting a high long-term return from low risk, there's plenty of it. It's all over the last half of the book. You can see time and time again, by applying that principle, you find higher returns.
Okay. Is that paradox investing? Does that only work on the US stock market?
It happens everywhere. And the reason is because people don't understand what I call the dynamics of compound interest. Mm. And so I have a whole chapter, chapter 6, which is all about the dynamics of compound interest. And what that shows, I mean, you've got three managers, and they all have the same simple return over 5 years. And I ask investors, okay, which manager would you choose? You know, you've got to go with one of these guys. Which would you choose? And most people go with the guy whose returns are like this. And they think the guy whose returns are like this is, you know, that's not very interesting. That's not going to get me anywhere. Well, that's the 1 year return. So then we look at the 5 year compound return, and the guy with the small single figure returns completely beats the other two with a higher volatility. Mm-hmm. So there are so many examples, and we show the math and how it works. I won't get into it, but it's not complicated math. But people don't fully understand the dynamics of compound interest. I mean, simple compound interest is very easy. It's just, you know, just an exponential curve. But the reality is our account will go up and down. And how do the downs affect your compound returns? They don't fully understand that. So that's a whole chapter dedicated to that because it's really important.
Mm. Investors that aren't knowledgeable or experts, are they better off just buying like a fund that covers the whole spectrum instead of trying to pick stocks themselves?
Yeah, passive investing. I talk a lot about passive investing. It's certainly not optimal. None of the best investors do passive investing. And the reason why is that if you're in a bull market, you tend to have higher risk in a passive fund because you just have like 60% in equities or whatever it is, and you don't do anything about it. So that kind of works quite well in a bull market, just simply because you're taking risk. But the trouble is you don't do anything in the bear market. So you've had 13 years where the S&P 500 went flat from 2000 to 2013. You have had over 30 years where the Nikkei has not made a new high since 1989. Here we are 31 years later, and we still haven't got back to the high. So, you know, if you're a passive investor, you're going to put up with a zero return for 31 years. I think you can do better. And so, you know, I show a really simple system, which is one line of code, one line. And that will beat passive investing over a 40-year period. It's in the book on chapter 3. So you can see that just by adopting, and that takes 5 minutes every month to manage, a really simple rule. And that wins over a 40-year period with lower drawdown and all the metrics. Mm. So there is a better way. There is a better way. And there's a lot of detail about that in the book.
All right. Well, it's been fascinating. I will have to buy your book. Where would we go to get a copy of your book, Invest Like the Best, The Low Risk Road to High Returns?
Right. Yes. You can get that. It'll be on Amazon on February the 23rd, and it's also going to be on BookBaby. And I think it's going to be on another one, and I've forgotten which one that is. Definitely you'll get it on those two.
All right. So are you now living in the USA?
I am. I am, yes. I was in the UK. I was born in Africa. So, yeah, I've traveled a bit.
Right. And how are you finding living in a different country to where you were originally?
It's very interesting. It's, you know, there are always pros and cons, but I have to say I definitely like the weather more in the US than the UK. I can't deal with those dark winters particularly well. And I'm a golfer, so I can play more golf in the US.
That seems to be where a lot of retirees go. They like to go somewhere where it's warmer. And, yeah, it's a trend everywhere.
Mm. Yes. So I'd like to go to Australia, but it's a little far.
We're very spread out here. We've got the same land mass as the US, but our population is very, very tiny. So to get around, you have to drive a lot or fly a lot.
Right.
And have plenty of time.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much. It's been fascinating and it'll be extremely interesting to read this book. And it's out this month. So everyone who wants to improve their returns in their investing, it sounds like a great read. Thanks very much for being on the show, Chris. And your investment company, is that based in the US as well?
Yeah, I'm a registered investment advisor in the US.
And if anyone wanted to get in touch with you through your company, where would they go?
ChrisBellChamber.com. Very easy, just my name.com, easy to find. And, the book will be on Amazon and BookBaby.
All right. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
So this is Ann Nelson, and we have had Chris Bellchamber on the Retire Well, Retire Happy show.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.